Day. Last night in Alabama, Moore promised to sue the Post. And on Saturday, he questioned the timing of the story. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says Moore should step aside if the sexual allegations against him are true.
Nearly 350 people are dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes near the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday. Most of the dead are in Iran, and officials say the death toll's likely to rise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient, so millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenics. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenics is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to ProstateVideo.com. That's ProstateVideo.com. Guys, take it from me and Larry King. It can change your life. ProstateVideo.com.
Jury deliberations restarting now in the corruption trial of U.S. Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey. An alternate juror is taking the place of Evelyn Maltzby, who was excused because of a previously scheduled vacation. She told reporters she believes Menendez and his friend Solomon Melgen are not guilty and speculated the case could end with a hung jury. The U.S. military is investigating two Navy SEALs over the death of a Green Beret last June in the African nation of Mali. Naval criminal investigators had confirmed to CNN last month that they were investigating two members of the Navy's elite SEAL Team 6 over the death of Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar. Now the Daily Beast is citing two special operations sources as saying the SEALs under investigation allegedly stole money from a fund used to pay informants. It says the sources allege Melgar uncovered the theft and declined their offer to take a cut of the proceeds. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's in New York City, where he's been kicking off a 19-city tour to promote his new book, telling NBC's Today Show today that one thing he's not doing is spending a lot of time considering a run for the White House.
If the Lord Almighty came down, sat in the middle of the table and said, Joe, the nomination is yours, but you have to take it now, I would say no. Because I am just, we're working through a whole lot. We're getting there, and I want to focus on my book.
The book is called Promise Me, Dad, A Year of Hope, Hardship, and Purpose. It details Biden's time as vice president after his son Beau was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2014. Beau Biden died the following year. The White House now says President Trump and Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte only briefly spoke about human rights when the two met during a conference in the Philippines. Duterte has faced a lot of criticism about his human rights violations for instigating a bloody drug war in his nation. President Trump said he had a great relationship with Duterte. And there are reports NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is looking to get close to $50 million a year in his new contract. ESPN reporting Goodell also wants lifetime use of a private jet and lifetime health insurance for himself and his family. The news comes just days after the Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones threatened to sue the NFL if it re-upped Goodell's contract.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Miller from Nutrimost of Flemington, serving Huntington and surrounding areas and all. We're going to talk about the weather. So there's a chance of rain, mainly before 4 p.m., cloudy with a high near 45 degrees. North wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is only 50%, so that means that it's going to stop pretty soon. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Are back. This is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Flemington, serving Hunterdon County and the surrounding areas, and we are ready for an amazing show today. We've got Chip and Julie from America's Grow a Road out of Pittstown, New Jersey. So, of course, you really want to know what that means. What do they do on this farm of theirs? And we're going to find out all the specifics about it. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome Julie and Chip. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves and what's going on over there in Huntington and especially in Pittstown, New Jersey.
Wonderful. Sure. Well, thank you for having us here. We're excited to be here.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Miller. We appreciate it. My name is Chip Halix. I'm president and founder of America's Grow Row, and it's a program where we have volunteers that come out and support us at the farm, where they help us to plant and harvest produce that goes to food banks and food pantries, hunger relief organizations all throughout the state of New Jersey, into New York City and Pennsylvania. And, the program's grown over since 2002. We've just celebrated our 15-year mark, and we've been doing a lot more than just produce delivery, of course, where there's an education component and such. And, we've got quite a bit going on here. So
that sounds incredible. Now, you were saying you work with a lot of volunteers there and all. So what's the story with that?
Well, volunteers are really the backbone of our organization. They're the lifeblood of what allows us to do what we do. We deliver 1.5 million pounds of produce each year, which is huge, and that's all harvested by hand. So our volunteers play a critical role in the planting and also the harvesting of the produce. So it's a great experience for people to touch a farm and see where their food comes from, but at the same time also make a huge difference as well. And, what we've always wanted to do is really kind of keep this whole Huntington County agricultural pride intact. And this is a great way of getting people onto the farm that have never been there before.
This is important because so often so many people growing up and stuff now go to the grocery stores, and they're so used to just walking around and being able to get watermelon in the winter time or grapes in the winter time and all, and they don't really realize what's involved in doing that, getting that crop from the field to the actual plate there and all. So you guys are bridging that gap and doing it, not just growing the produce and stuff, but you're educating the general public about what's involved with it and how to get it there and all. That's an incredible thing. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, absolutely. We always kind of use the example. Many people have had uncles or grandfathers that had farms that you were able to go to over the summers. But, as you can see, the landscape has changed here. And so there's not as many farms. And so this is a way to kind of get that, surface education and kind of get exposed to where my food comes from, agriculture, what's an antioxidant, all these types of different things. But below that surface is where we're educating folks from outside of the area inner city, underserved areas where low-income neighborhoods come out and they're part of the program. And that's really what Julie does a lot of work with. She helps to coordinate those events and create the curriculum so that people from outside of this beautiful agricultural setting have a exposure to it as well. So,
Chip, let's take a moment and go over here to Julie, who's just dying to get onto the phone or onto the mic here. And Julie, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're coming from? Did you grow up in Hunterdon County?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm from Hunterdon County. I grew up in Union Township. I went to North Hunterdon High School, graduated, and then went to school in Pittsburgh. And I grew up, of course, in the area, and the agricultural heritage was really big in my family. We always had a garden. We made sure to shop from like local markets. And local agriculture was a big part of my youth. And going to school in another city, I realized, that's really outside of the norm for a lot of people. So coming back to the area and getting to work at an organization that has such a big part in educating people about where their food comes from, how it grows, you need food to live, and so many people don't know where it comes from.
Right.
So it's exciting to spread that message and to have youth not only from Hunterdon County come up, but from all over the state get to see how their food grows and then give it to people who really need it.
So this is interesting. You went from Hunterdon County out to Pittsburgh, which is the town of, 160 bridges, and it was the iron-producing capital of the world for the longest time, and it's the three rivers meet right there at the base of the bridge that in the tunnel that comes through to get from the airport and all. So what made you decide to go out to Pittsburgh?
Well, it's funny. You seem to know a lot about Pittsburgh. So when I was going to see different colleges, I really loved the idea of it being kind of a city-town mix coming from Hunterdon County, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of far apart, towns, small areas, but nothing really big. And the idea of going to a big city kind of had me a little bit timid, but I wanted to be kind of outside my comfort zone and try something new. So I liked that it was all these different neighborhoods coming together. And it was really interesting to be in that environment, really different than here. And I think going away as a kid, you're 18, I really appreciated more what we have here in Hunterdon County, and I was ready to come back. I was excited when I got the opportunity to work with Growro and when I was able to have such a wonderful internship and then turn it into a career.
So this is interesting. So, Chip, you actually have an internship program that goes on at the farm?
We do, yes. And so we're very fortunate to be able to have students that are either in college or just graduating come out and learn many different skills. And when you work for a nonprofit as an intern, it's free. We don't pay,
right?
But the rewards are great. So you learn all different pieces of business, whether it's marketing, whether it's logistics, motivational skills management, all these different types of things. And so, yes, we do have positions that are open because we have a lot to do. But Julie's story was very unique, but really kind of set the bar clearly. And because she came out as an intern, worked so hard over the summer. And, she basically found out that we had an opening in January. She graduated a semester early to join our team. So we just love having her. And, again, really has kind of put the idea in our mind that, hey, there's some great students out there that can do awesome things. Not everyone's going to get a job, of course, but
right.
They'll certainly walk away with awesome skills to prepare themselves for the future. So.
Right, that sounds good. We're going to take a commercial break, but I want to come back and we're going to talk about what those skills are that you learned as an intern, but also what you as a producer of fine foods and growing here in Hunterdon County can give to people that want to do that. All right, so here we go.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back at Get Healthy Hunterdon, and this is Dr. Mueller from Nutrimost of Flemington, and our guest today is Chip and Julie from America's Grow-A-Row in Pittstown, New Jersey. Off air, we were having a very, very interesting discussion about the number of acres that they're actually working over there, and that's why they really need to have a lot of volunteers to help with that, because they put everything into the ground themselves by hand and really do a good top-notch job with that. So why don't we talk a little bit about the program that you got over there, something called Three Pillars?
Yeah, so we grow, we glean, and we give. We grow where our volunteers help us to plant a certain portion of the crops. Some of it has to be done with machinery, just given the scale and size of what we put in the ground. But 100% of it is harvested by hand. And so that's growing. Again, you know, 1.5 million pounds we harvested and distributed this year alone.
That's an incredible amount of tonnage just coming out of there.
It is. If you've ever weighed a string bean, you'd agree. So, it's a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. But it's really exciting. And, we love just seeing it, you know, packaged up and going to those who need it the most. And but it's a lot of work. But again, we're you know reliant on our volunteers. But if you equate that back to the acreage, that's about 130 acres we put in the ground. We own 288, and we have we can plant probably around 170.
Oh wow!
Okay. Yeah, we have some woodland and you know, wetland and such, so we can't use all the acres.
Right.
So we haven't even maxed out all the property at this point.
Oh wow! Yeah. Okay.
And so we also glean, which means that that's the second pillar, where we rescue produce from either orchards or farms that have extra produce, or we glean off the field, as we call it, when we go to supermarkets. And so the we have two partners, one in Hope, that's Longmeadow Farm, and one in Chester, which is Ryamead Farm, and they have apple orchards.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so when we go through and we harvest, you know, like when people go to the U-Pick and they pick one apple, well, two or three tend to fall. So we send our volunteers on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays to try to pick up any of the apples that fall.
Mm-hmm.
So around 85,000 pounds are rescued per year just off those two orchards. In terms of supermarkets, there's the Flemington and the Clinton ShopRite, and they allow us to basically glean any produce that's not used, but still, it's short in terms of the sell by date, but still has like a week left in terms of the use by date, and so that's somewhere in the up to 100,000 pound mark per year.
That's incredible.
We've been throwing the trash.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. Produce in grocery stores and stuff has a high. It has a short. It seems like a short shelf life and a high turnover rate and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the volume that gets thrown out on a daily basis because it's got a little blemish or something like that. It's just, it makes you cry, kind of food that's just getting thrown away.
Well, the ironic thing is you buy it when it's in pristine shape, right? You come home, you slam it in the bottom of the refrigerator. It winds up getting a bunch of biffs on it. A week or two later, you eat it. That's probably worse quality than some of the stuff that gets pitched just because of the sell-by date.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, we feel good that we're rescuing that. And then it goes right into the hands of the folks who are going to use it immediately.
Immediately, yeah. That's the thing and stuff. And it doesn't, you know, like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, the best of, quality in as far as them being able to utilize and stuff. Whether they put it into smoothies, chop it up and put it into pies or turnovers or
anything. Well, it's even better shape than that, just eating as it. Our rule of thumb is, hey, if I would eat it, mm-hmm. then it's good for anyone else.
Oh, okay, good. Very good. Where did we come up with the three pillars?
Well, that's you know, we started that back in 2002, you know, when we started mm-hmm. this whole program. It was grow, glean, and give, a very unique hands-on approach for volunteering and experience and education. And it's just, you know, the three things that really helped GrowRo get to where it is today. And, you know, we want to stay with focus within those three pillars in the future as well.
So who are the recipients of all of this?
Well, you know, it's all throughout New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's in New York City and also Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvania is the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, okay.
We also work with Philabundance, which is a food bank out of Philadelphia, New Jersey. Most of it goes to the Community Food Bank of New Jersey out of Hillside. But we also service local organizations here in Hunter County, such mm-hmm. as the Flemington Area Food Pantry, Lambertville, you know, the food pantries in there as well. YMCA has a great program where mm-hmm. They have Saturday distribution set up. And and also into New York City through City Harvest, which is one of the largest food banks in New York City.
Yeah, we hear a lot about the City Harvest and also, yeah.
But what's great is a lot of the folks who receive the produce, the recipients, they come out and volunteer as well.
Isn't that something? Tell us more about that.
Well, it's a very simple program. I mean, people, they receive it, and they want to be able to help. So it's kind of a pay it back / pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they pick for produce not just for themselves, but also their communities. And again, you know, a lot of the people who receive the food, you know, they want to be part of this. They want to have some sort of ownership and engagement in all this.
Right.
And not just, you know, receive a handout.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Julie has some experiences where she's spoke to some. Actually, the Bethlehem experience would be.
Yeah, definitely. So when we have youth come out to the farm, they get to experience, of course, what we talked about before, learning about agriculture,
mm-hmm.
and they get to harvest for their own families if it's a recipient group,
and
they also get to harvest for others. So there's a give back aspect, and it's really wonderful. We have groups come out, and when we have youth out, we try to make sure they understand the give back portion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you want to phrase it in a way, you know, to be sensitive to their situation. So we say something like, there were some children who weren't able to come to the farm this year. Could you harvest produce for them? Something kind of like that. And they mm-hmm. get excited, and we have kids trying to dump their own produce into boxes. We're like, no, please take it home. You need it. But there's one boy in particular that I worked with this year. We were harvesting tomatoes. And when you're in the field, of course, tomatoes are at different levels of being ripe. They're either green or yellow or orange or red. And we said, you know, find the 6 most red, beautiful tomatoes you can find. And he was in first grade. He was really excited. He'd never been to a farm before.
Oh.
And we were lifting up the leaves of the plant, showing him the different tomatoes. No, that one's not good enough, he said. No, that's not good. It's not red enough, not round enough. And, you know, as a human being, I got a little frustrated. And I said, you know, there's a lot of really great tomatoes. Why do you need the picture-perfect best tomato? And he looked up at me and he said, I've never had a tomato before. And I want my tomato to be perfect. So we found him his perfect tomato. He ate it, and he loved it. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, they come out and have these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And for you or I, having a tomato is just like, you know, a regular thing. But for him, this was really exciting, a big event.
Isn't that something? So you changed his life in a matter of seconds and stuff. That's great. And I bet you have a lot more of those heartwarming kind of stories that go on.
Yeah, we have a lot of youth come out. This year we have almost 700 recipient volunteers.
Wow.
So those are individuals that are receiving the food. We're at, I think, 679, so we're very close.
That's moving up there. Wow.
But we had a really wonderful time having them come out to the farm. There are stories of, you know, learning about agriculture, and there's also a lot of community building. So one story that really stuck with me was there was a group that came out from an urban area. And there was one young man that was very timid and shy, and we experienced that a lot at the farm because it's a new experience. And I went up to someone that was with him, and I said, oh, like, is he going to be okay today? He seems kind of shy. And the young girl was like, oh, don't worry. Like, he's shy. I'm his sister. I'll take care of him. He's my brother. And we're like, okay. And throughout the day, I kept on checking up on this young boy, and I kept on seeing him with different individuals. And they kept on saying, oh, you know, he's my brother. He'll be fine. Like, I'll take care of him. And I was starting to think, wow, like, this kid has a big family. And at the end of the day, I went to the woman who brought the group out, the teacher, and I thanked her. I said, this group was so respectful. They were so excited and polite. They're a really great group. And she was like, well, of course they are. And I was like, oh, yeah, they were really good. And she said that when they enter this group, this community group, they're taught to treat everyone like their siblings. We're all a community helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really shows.
That something?
It was really, really exciting. And it kind of parallels the Grower community, you know, people in Hunterdon County and surrounding areas working to help people as if they were their family.
Wow.
You know, getting food to others.
That's
just
great.
Like the small community was doing.
That's excellent and stuff to teach those kind of qualities and stuff where, you know, we in our minds always think inner city kids, you know, they're out for themselves, you know, they're always trying to survive and stuff. And here you guys are just enforcing and teaching those simple little values and teaching skills that we all should be learning and stuff as we go along and stuff. So that's excellent, though.
And it goes, and those are the kid examples, you know, the children.
Mm-hmm.
But the adults are extremely grateful as well. We had a group from Camden that came out, again, part of the recipient, you know, give back. And so this group came out and they were working side by side with other volunteers from a corporation. And what they couldn't get over is that they were so hot, you know, like everyone's tired, they're dirty. And they said to one of our staff, they said, you know, I just can't get over how hard and how long, you know, people work for us and traveling back and forth to Camden to drop off produce. They don't even know us, and they put all this effort into it. So the people who receive it came out to volunteer because they're so thankful, but they were just overwhelmed by seeing how hard people work for them that, again, you don't even know. I mean, it's part of community, but you don't even know these people.
Right.
And so that's pretty special. So to be able to deliver.
That's a great, you know, those are great values to be teaching, you know, not just here at the local Hunterdon County, but, you know, you guys are spreading into the tri-state area and stuff. And if we could get more of these facilities set up and stuff, just imagine what we could be doing and stuff. Of course, we won't be able to go nationally or, you know, as far as, you know, worldwide and stuff. Hopefully that would happen. That would be good and stuff. But, I mean, just to start, you know, getting that whole theme going and all, that would be an excellent thing to do.
Yeah.
Very, very good. All right, we are going to take a quick commercial break, so we're going to be right back here, everybody, so hold on.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new poll shows Alabama Democrat Doug Jones with his first lead over Republican U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore in the Senate race in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations against Moore. As we hear from Sharon Reed, Jones now leads 46-42%.
Moore consistently polled better than Jones before sexual misconduct allegations against the Senate candidate were published by the Washington Post last Thursday. Last night in Alabama, Moore promised to sue the Post, and on Saturday, he questioned the timing of the story. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says Moore should step aside if the sexual allegations against him are true.
Nearly 350 people are dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes near the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday. Most of the dead are in Iran, and officials say the death toll is likely to rise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views. But there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient. So millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenics. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenics is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to ProstateVideo.com. That's ProstateVideo.com. Guys, take it from me and Larry King. It can change your life. ProstateVideo.com.
Jury deliberations restarting now in the corruption trial of U.S. Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey. An alternate juror is taking the place of Evelyn Maltzby, who was excused because of a previously scheduled vacation. She told reporters she believes Menendez and his friend Solomon Melgen are not guilty and speculated the case could end with a hung jury. The U.S. military is investigating two Navy SEALs over the death of a Green Beret last June in the African nation of Mali. Naval criminal investigators had confirmed to CNN last month that they were investigating two members of the Navy's elite SEAL Team 6 over the death of Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar. Now the Daily Beast is citing two special operations sources as saying the SEALs under investigation allegedly stole money from a fund used to pay informants. It says the sources allege Melgar uncovered the theft and declined their offer to take a cut of the proceeds. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's in New York City, where he's been kicking off a 19-city tour to promote his new book, telling NBC's Today Show today that one thing he's not doing is spending a lot of time considering a run for the White House.
If the Lord Almighty came down, sat in the middle of the table and said, Joe, the nomination is yours, but you have to take it now, I would say no. Because I am just, we're working through a whole lot. We're getting there, and I want to focus on my book.
The book is called Promise Me, Dad, A Year of Hope, Hardship, and Purpose. It details Biden's time as vice president after his son Beau was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2014. Beau Biden died the following year. The White House now says President Trump and Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte only briefly spoke about human rights when the two met during a conference in the Philippines. Duterte has faced a lot of criticism about his human rights violations for instigating a bloody drug war in his nation. President Trump said he had a great relationship with Duterte. And there are reports NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is looking to get close to $50 million a year in his new contract. ESPN reporting Goodell also wants lifetime use of a private jet and lifetime health insurance for himself and his family. The news comes just days after the Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones threatened to sue the NFL if it re-upped Goodell's contract.
And this is Dr. Miola with Get Healthy Hunterdon. I'm from Nutrimost of Flemington, and our guests today are Chip and Julie from America's Grower Road in Pittstown, New Jersey. Off air, we were having a very, very interesting conversation about what's coming up on the border, on the horizon of their programs and all, and some of the things that they do off season and all. So why don't we talk about that then and all? Go ahead, Chip.
Sure. Well, off-season, of course, we have a whole educational component that runs basically from January through May. There's different curriculums based on the different schools and such where the team goes. And that really kind of helps prepare and create a lot of excitement for rolling into the planting and then the harvesting season. So the program basically runs all year long.
Oh, okay.
And so, a lot of people think, oh, well, at the end of the season, you kind of take a break, but we just kind of get ramped up, ready to go. And
so you don't have that south to the Florida place then at all?
No, not yet anyway.
So what actually happens on the farm or in the health classes that you're talking about? What age groups are you talking to? What areas are you talking to about that?
Well,
what are you talking about?
Well, all different groups are educated at mm-hmm. different schools and it could be preschool all the way up to high school, college. Mm-hmm. It could be anywhere. So it depends on what schools want the education, and we can kind of book them. But there's some really committed education that we have over the last couple of years as part of our Essex-Hudson program, where we expanded deeply into these inner city areas at different levels in different age groups. So
yeah, definitely. So in Jersey City, East Orange, and Newark in the Essex-Hudson area, we focus on repeated education. So the program's history is really interesting, and I'm sure Chip will like touch on that in a bit. But we started initially doing, you know, kind of one and done. Like, we're going to go into a whole bunch of schools mm-hmm. once a year and do education. And that was great, but we found that, you know, that's not going to change lives. So we started going in, as Chip said, January through May in the same schools, three different areas, seeing the same students once a month. And it became something where, you know, in the beginning of the year, you have kids that are like, I don't even want to look at a tomato. That's gross. And by the end of the year, teachers started using Grow-Ro as discipline, saying, if you're not good today, you don't get to cook after school. So kids were really excited. It was something they really wanted to do. We make sure we have an Eat the Rainbow curriculum, which is something that, you know, any age can understand the importance of eating a rainbow plate. Right? There's a lot of like technical things about servings and what you need to be healthy, but something very simple when people don't have a grasp at all, a very base level concept of how to eat healthy, is the eat your rainbow concept of eating a rainbow fruits and vegetables. And we also make sure, you know, we do teach, as Chip said, all different age groups, but we want to make sure the parents are engaged as well. So what we do is we'll go into the schools and we'll do a hands-on cooking lesson. They'll get to cook, they'll get to eat, they'll leave with full bellies. It's a community meal. They all work together on it. But they get to go home with the bags of produce as well. So they get to have their parents cook with them at home, and we're really bringing the healthy meals into the home, which is great because when we donate the produce in the summers, it's all connected. We want to make sure the different kinds of food that we're donating is acceptable and understood how to cook because, you know, what's the use of giving someone beautiful zucchini and corn if they can't cook it?
What a great way, though. You know, you educate the kids and stuff, and they, of course, are going to be questioning the parents, well, how come we don't have, you know, tomatoes? How come we don't have, you know, green colors or yellow colors or blue colors in our food and things like that? And that's where it's going to start and stuff at the youth of today. Well, great idea.
Yeah, it's really exciting. But as I said, this program really, it's molded and grown. And it started really small, what for Grower was, and it has grown. And Chip had a huge part in that, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so I was relocated out from Bergen County down here.
What a term, relocate.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And it was awesome. It completely changed our lives. I was working for a corporation.
Oh, okay.
Working for Unilever, a huge you know, consumer product goods company, food company. And so when we came out here, I wanted to start a project with my then four-year-old daughter, a little daddy-daughter project. And so we decided to start a garden. And so we had this 30 by 30 foot garden, and like any eager first time gardener, we put in way too much.
Oh, 30 by 30, yeah.
It's huge. And so anyway, we had all this extra produce and didn't know what to do with it. And at first, I was dropping it off at my you know, my place of work and and handing it out. Well, you know the deal. In the beginning of the season, everyone loves your free tomatoes and zucchini, but a couple weeks into it, you know, no more.
Right.
So that's when a three-line article completely changed my life altogether. Because in the Democrat, it said, if you ever have any extra produce, bring it down to the local food pantry. Grow a row for the hungry. And we're like, wow, that's a great idea. We'll call it this little thing, Grow a Row. And didn't realize that God had a plan for us. And so clearly there was a calling, and one thing led to the next. That first year, we distributed 120 pounds, but now we're distributing 1.5 million. But what really hit me between the eyes was the first time I walked into the food pantry. And so when we walked in there, there were people lined up, sitting in chairs, and they all had numbers at cards, and they were being called up to the front. And they were being given, like, box and canned food. And so we had our box of produce, and so they said, okay, we can put it in that empty shelf over there. It's empty because no one ever brings produce. And they didn't have refrigeration.
Sure.
So when we left, a woman came running out, and she was begging us to come back. Her eyes were all wide. She's like, sir, promise me you'll come back again. I'm on a special diet. I'm in need. And, you know, because of health reasons, I need to eat healthy produce. I never get any. Promise us you'll come back. I will never forget that. And that really is what kind of turned us on and said, hey, you know what? It's not just about feeding people. It's about feeding people healthy food.
That's it. Yeah.
And it completely changed our lives to the point where I walked out of the corporate world to make this my full-time mission, to be able to help those in need.
That was a huge step, yeah.
Yeah, it really was. It was on many different personal levels. But my family rallied behind me, and then we had great supporters, financial supporters and volunteers. And it just continued to grow and grow, and now the sky's the limit.
So how old's your daughter now?
She's 19.
Yeah.
And she's still very active in the program. She loves it. Yeah.
Very good.
So
excellent. So, Julie, anything that you can add to that Row a Road concept?
Yeah, definitely. So I think it's really exciting how, you know, it's a passion to a purpose. And we, of course, like to educate about healthy eating and getting people excited about agriculture, but we also want to educate youth about how to give back, right? So we go into schools and we do really hands-on experiences where we kind of put them in the shoes of someone in need. And, you know, it's always a hard experience. For example, we do one SNAP lesson. And SNAP is basically the new food stamps. And we use the budget that you'd get on SNAPs, and you have to create a week of healthy meals.
Oh.
And the kids struggle, and it's super hard, and they get frustrated at me. And of course it's hard, because that's a hard thing to do in real life. And the end is always more uplifting. Like, you know, there is a problem, but if you want to help, you can. And you can come volunteer with us, or you can help donate or do a fundraiser. But it's really exciting to see how, you know, Chip's mission, one person and his daughter who came together around this, now we have, you know, whole communities coming around to help get healthy food to people, or maybe inspire kids to follow their own passion, whatever that may be, to help others.
See, that's good that, you know, you guys plant this, literally plant the seed in the minds of these, you know, youth and stuff. And then as they grow and stuff, you know, their interests will probably, hopefully will turn from, you know, destructive things to more constructive and, you know, more society-oriented type of projects. This is a great concept and all, and you definitely should be, you know, having a lot more funding going on and stuff. With now, how do you get funded then?
So 100% of our funds comes from private, from individuals and from corporations. We don't accept any state or federal funding at all.
Oh, okay.
So it's just the generosity of people who have the ability to give and support such a mission. Most people, when they come out and they touch it, they realize, like, wow, I didn't know this whole need exists. I mean, when people, for the first time, when they walk into a food desert, you know, an area that has no access to any fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, we've walked the stores, you know, in these communities that are so way more populated than Hunterdon County. And you just have small bodegas. And in those, literally, like a box of oranges or random potatoes, you know, not even in the same section, just nothing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is not just educate, you know, we're really trying to address the access, the affordability, and make it a priority, eating healthy in these areas.
Right.
So, you know, we're providing access by getting food down there through our free farm markets, mm-hmm. you know, every week. We're making it affordable because, of course, it's free. And really, the payment is if you can volunteer, great. If not, you know, give what you can. If not, that's fine, too. But making it a priority, because the reality is if you don't have access to something, you can't afford it. It's pretty hard to make it a priority. So we're creating, like, entire new markets, essentially, mm-hmm. where we're getting produce back into these communities. The last couple generations that live in some of these inner cities, you know, they're not accustomed to cooking with fresh, you know, ingredients. And so we're trying to retrain them. And that's why the recipes are so critical. And the education at the child level, Julie was talking about the bags of produce that go to these through the kids back home.
That's a great idea.
It's huge. Yeah. And it's not just like, oh, here's a cute little sample in the Dixie cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like the real deal. This is like an entire dinner, you know, for families that might not even have a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's all healthy. And then we encourage them to come to the free farm markets and eat healthy. And so, it's a pretty inclusive program that it just gets way deeper underneath the surface than just handing it out.
So about how many people do you have that show up at these farm markets than in the inner cities that, you know, partake of these things? Probably it has to do with, like, the kids putting the word into the parents' ear and stuff, and it's going to be here, so let's show up and go do this.
Sure, and also marketing tied into local community mm-hmm. groups as well. You know, we always want to partner with folks who community groups that know the community. They know who's in need. They vet. They make sure that who goes through definitely is in need. But we had 100. We're looking at about 170 of the free farm markets this year,
it's
a range. But you know, 150 to 250 people show up at these free farm markets. Mm-hmm. Again, no charge.
Right.
It's and you know what? You wouldn't know it was any other. You wouldn't know it was a free farm market other than there's not a cashier at the end.
Right.
It's and we don't tell them what to take. We lay it out. If you want tomatoes, great. If you don't, that's fine. If you want peaches, great. And so that's basically how it works.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So how big a fleet of delivery vehicles do you have for this?
Oh, goodness. They're all volunteers.
Are they?
It's very like this, kind of like Meals on Wheels.
Okay.
People show up, you know, for their day that they're on the calendar, the schedule, And then they know their route, they go out and they distribute. But, you know, it's not just dropping it off.
Sure.
It's having a connection, just like us, looking across from the table. Oh, hi. You know, I was just talking to someone yesterday at church, and they're saying, you know, I go to the same free farm market every year, you know, and I deliver. And I just love it because, you know, my kids, you know, are making connection. We're making connection. I see the same people, and I feel like it's kind of family.
Yeah.
So that is kind of neat, bringing two different sides of the state together that are very different, but holding hands and helping each other.
Right.
Really helping each other.
This would make a good, you know, community project, service project for these high school kids and stuff, you know, that nowadays and stuff, you know, they get everything, it seems, and, you know, they need to be giving back to the community to really know what's involved. For the kid, you know, in the inner city that, you know, may not be getting a dinner that night, where he's sitting there, you know, throwing away half his food and stuff because he doesn't like the taste of it and all.
Well, especially when we have the youth that come out from these inner city areas to the farm, we have a team of youth volunteers.
Oh, do you? Okay.
You know, certainly I can speak to my daughter's experience where, you know, she comes home and I'm like, oh, how was your day? She's like, oh, great. And she's telling me how the kids swarm to her looking for hugs. You know, and it's not just the food, it's the attention and just making someone feel special. You know, Julie assembled a, you know, how many youth volunteers do we have this year for the kids on the farm days?
Yeah, this year we had about 15 volunteers. So we have 2 weeks of what we call Grow a Row Kids Farm Days, when the children from the underserved communities or inner city areas come out to the farm. And, of course, we need help on those days. So throughout the 2 weeks, we have sessions in the morning and the afternoon. We have the teen volunteers come out. It's their summer break. And they make really amazing connections with these children. So far that there are some groups that come every year during, like, their summer camp.
Oh, okay.
And there was one day that one of the volunteers was sick. And a girl came and she said, where's my friend? She's not here this year. So they're really making strong connections. And again, it's bridging the gap between two communities, which is exciting.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, that's cool.
We had one of the free farm markets where one of the volunteers that was going down, he was a kid, you know, maybe 12, 13 years old, and he met another 12 or 13-year-old boy who lived there. And the next week, like, hey, you know, do you own a football? Yeah. Well, listen, next week when you come down, we can have a catch. You know, and that's like, really cool. It's just so much greater than just handing out food.
Isn't that something? We're going to take a commercial break here, but we're going to be right back. So, everybody, hang on, and here we go.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today. at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back. This is Dr. Mueller from Nutrimost of Flemington, and we are talking with Chip and Julie from America's Grower Road out of Pittstown, New Jersey. So off air, we were having a very interesting discussion, and we're just going to continue on with that. So go ahead about volunteers and getting on the list, and let's move along.
Sure. You know, we're very excited that our program is really a volunteer destination center. And we have people that have fly out from around the country just to be part of this program,
Oh, wow.
Which is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
We have a waiting list at times throughout the course of the season. So, you know, if the audience, anyone's interested in helping us from a physical standpoint coming out, it's an awesome team-building exercise. It's an opportunity to be able to serve those in need as a community service day as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's critical. And, you know, folks like to help us in different ways. You know, maybe they want to help us with a sponsorship for our upcoming Farm to Fork fundraising event in May.
Okay.
You know, it comes with a lot of advertising and such and exposure. So, yeah, now's the time, if you're interested, to reach out to us. You can very simply go onto our website and just click on the volunteer button and say, I want to volunteer, and we'll get in contact with you and make sure you're on the calendar. But, again, it's a great experience, whether it's a community group, whether you're an individual, faith-based group, a corporation, school, we have a place for everybody. And what's great is that there's no limitations in terms of if you have a, you know, if you don't know how to garden or
I was going to say, if you don't have a green thumb, it doesn't matter.
No, and even no matter what limitations you might have, every single person that comes to our door, we've got a job for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Julie.
Yeah, coming to volunteer is a wonderful way to help out the program. Again, going on our website, americasgrowroad.org, is a great way to find out all the different opportunities. In the off-season, again, we do a lot of education. We love to have help during our education sessions.
Oh, okay.
You don't need to have experience with teaching. As long as you're comfortable working with kids and you're excited to get involved, we'd love to have you out. So reaching out to me directly would be a great way to learn more about the education we do in the off-season and how you can get involved in our winter programming. And that can just be a simple email to Julie, J-U-L-I-E, at americasgrowaro.org.
Okay, very good. So we're coming up into the Thanksgiving season and all. What's on the agenda for America's Grow-A-Row?
Well, we still have some work to do in the fields. We're not done yet.
Okay.
We still have potatoes, sweet potatoes. We still have cabbage. So if you're looking to be part of a pre-holiday season event, we've got picks lined up this week, this weekend, into perhaps a little bit into next week, perhaps on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if we don't get everything out of the ground, we'll just, you know, kick it back up again once we get out of Thanksgiving. But, yeah, there's always ways to get involved, and the list is long. And I would also like to throw out, if anyone has any, children that are either looking for a Gold Star project through the Girl Scouts or an Eagle Scout project through
Eagle
the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
We have projects that we would love for them to take on. And so, again, no matter what age, skill set, or anything, there's always a project.
Henry Sakos, with your Boy Scouts up there in Pittstown, this is out to you. You got to get over there, get some programs set up with them. Good.
Yeah. So, couple good projects in mind that we have.
Definitely. All right. And it's also a great way for corporations to come out. Chip said that individuals have, you know, flown out to come to Grow-A-Row for an experience. It's amazing for team building. Corporate social responsibility is huge now. There are a lot of studies showing that consumers are more likely to support different companies and buy different products if they see some kind of, like, social equity in the background. So responsibility for the communities. And it's amazing team building day. We've had teams come out, you know, at 9 a.m. and not know each other, and by noon when they have lunch, they seem to be best friends. So it's a really wonderful way to, you know, get your hands dirty, do something really physical. You get to see what you've done. And we've had groups harvest, you know, nearly 100,000 pounds in a day. So it's a really big impact, and it's exciting. We can have groups, you know, as small as 5 to 10 or up to 200 people come out to the farm
Wow,
and make
okay.
a difference.
That's great. Team building and stuff, that's an excellent way of doing it. You start sweating, you start getting your hands dirty, you start shoulder to shoulder to somebody instead of sitting in a corporate world, sitting at a desk just kind of going over all these slides and PowerPoint projections. But the bonding that occurs at this kind of level and stuff is just much more long-term and much more deeper set than anything that you can possibly pay for at all.
And I think part of the reason is because all boots are on the ground. We're all at the same level. And it's great seeing a CEO as well as, you know, someone else in the organization, you know, all different levels that are all dirty, working together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's something to be said about that. And, you know, to Julie's point, you know, we can have huge groups. We can have small groups. You know, we have multiple companies that come out at once and they all kind of go at it together, mm-hmm. you know, challenge each other in the field. And it's really cool. I mean, there's a rush that comes out of it. And that's why so many people want to come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, 8,500 volunteers, that's an awful lot of people.
That is.
So
that's great. So with the last few minutes we have, how can people in our listening audience get a hold of you, find out more about you and do volunteering, do fundraisers and everything else?
Well, again, you know, as Julie mentioned, it's americasgrowaroad.org. Go onto our website. You can reach out to us there or chip@americasgrowaroad.org. And if you want to volunteer, you click that button. If you want to help donate, you click that button. It's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get in contact with you and get you what you want. We customize all the experiences based on the groups that come out, what they're looking to get out of it. So it's never the same, is it?
Definitely, definitely. And with the holiday season coming up, it's a really great time. We're going to have some really fun online giving challenges.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a really fun time to get involved. So you can also connect with us on social media. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram, a Twitter, @AGARNJ is a great way to find us. Or, again, just searching America's Grower Row.
Excellent. Now, what else is going to be going on? So you guys are going to be having some new projects coming up and everything like that. So we're going to have you guys back again in the beginning of the growing season, perhaps. And this way you can let the listening audience know a little bit about more that's coming up. And now that they can get their boots dirty and their hands dirty and stuff and really, you know, get that volunteer work and all.
Excellent.
Well, I got to tell you, this hour flew by. And we're definitely going to have everybody back again and all. So this is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Flemington, and this was excellent. We'll see everybody next Monday, and that's all.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A new poll shows Alabama Democrat Doug Jones with his first lead over Republican U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore in the Senate race in the wake of sexual misconduct allegations against Moore. As we hear from Sharon Reed, Jones now leads 46-42%.
Moore consistently polled better than Jones before sexual misconduct allegations against the Senate candidate were published by the Washington Post last Thursday. Last night in Alabama, Moore promised to sue the Post, and on Saturday, he questioned the timing of the story. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says Moore should step aside if the sexual allegations against him are true.
Nearly 350 people are dead after a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake strikes near the Iraq-Iran border on Sunday. Most of the dead are in Iran, and officials say the death toll is likely to rise. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for ProstateVideo.com. I've made many appearances on TV with Larry King. He's a well-known liberal. I'm a well-known conservative. We can't stand each other's political views, but there's one thing we both passionately agree on. We're both guys over 50, and we both know that 70% or more of guys over 50 will have prostate problems, whether they know it or not. That's why there are dozens of pills to aid with prostate problems. Millions of bottles sold each year, billions of dollars spent, but very few of them work. Most of these pills are missing one key ingredient. So millions of men over 50 are wasting their money. Not anymore. Watch Larry King's free video with his exclusive special report on why so many men are wasting their money and doing nothing for their prostate problems. Larry has experienced the remarkable solution. It's called Prostagenics. It was developed by my great friend, former Stanford quarterback Fred Buckley. Prostagenics is the only supplement that actually works for many men with prostate problems. Go to ProstateVideo.com. That's ProstateVideo.com. Guys, take it from me and Larry King. It could change your life. ProstateVideo.com.
Jury deliberations restarting now in the corruption trial of U.S. Senate Democrat Robert Menendez of New Jersey. An alternate juror is taking the place of Evelyn Maltzby, who was excused because of a previously scheduled vacation. She told reporters she believes Menendez and his friend Solomon Melgen are not guilty and speculated the case could end with a hung jury. The U.S. military is investigating two Navy SEALs over the death of a Green Beret last June in the African nation of Mali. Naval criminal investigators had confirmed to CNN last month that they were investigating two members of the Navy's elite SEAL Team 6 over the death of Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar. Now the Daily Beast is citing two special operations sources as saying the SEALs under investigation allegedly stole money from a fund used to pay informants. It says the sources allege Melgar uncovered the theft and declined their offer to take a cut of the proceeds. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Former Vice President Joe Biden's in New York City, where he's been kicking off a 19-city tour to promote his new book, telling NBC's Today Show today that one thing he's not doing is spending a lot of time considering a run for the White House.
If the Lord Almighty came down, sat in the middle of the table and said, Joe, the nomination is yours, but you have to take it now, I would say no. Because I am just, we're working through a whole lot. We're getting there, and I want to focus on my boy.
The book is called Promise Me, Dad, A Year of Hope, Hardship, and Purpose. It details Biden's time as vice president after his son Beau was diagnosed with a brain